distribution of land, like what is called the high end. We want to have an interesting section of that bill, but it's not that we need to amend it before the end of the year. The Home Loan and Book Disclosure Act 63 of 2000, and we also want some amendments in that act. We think this is a good piece of legislation which can help us to track how the private sector is funding beneficiaries in our market. The amalgamation of the three nearby natural around and energy stream, we hoped, we targeted to get this amalgamation done before the end of the financial year. We missed the target. I think especially they had some challenges because of processing the request. We were hoping that Treasury would grant us that request before the end of the financial year. It's not rapid change. The whole event is different. We have an operating entity, we have one entity, even Treasury, the Minister of Treasury, and now target us to transfer assets and liabilities to the LGSP, which means that RAM and NETCHA will still be an entity. We conducted some research in the year under the future. In the area of radical economic transformation in human settlements, research on asbestos costing, what will it cost us to remove some of the asbestos? The asbestos roofs, Chair, are very dangerous when they are broken, when they are damaged. They become a health hazard. And the intention is to find immediate ways to remove those roof asbestos. Functionality of the residential property market, we need to have research on this, and we would want to come and present to you as well. Proposal on how to address apartheid spatial patterns. We presented some of this work in the IMC of Land Reform, where we talked about the PhDs, what we call the priority housing development areas. We need to abort the youth need policy framework and the implementation guidelines. You will recall that when we started with youth need, we didn't have any guidelines or any framework. We did research in collaboration with the Department of Science and Technology. We contracted CSIR to help us with the record. This is one piece of work, Chair, that needs to be launched. We think that we need to make a big festival about this, but it's important in the planning industry. This is how we design the work that we do in the planning space. And without the record, it gets very difficult for municipalities to design some of those designs that are expected in the settlements. And this work is work that we've done together with CSIR. We have the Strategic Settlement Development Plan, the AGSDG, was approved on time, except in a few provinces which were not in compliance with the Division of Revenue Act requirement. The policy framework for human settlements was developed. The framework to achieve private sector lending was developed. The human settlement grant framework was approved. And the framework for the improvement of DFI lending was developed. The revision of human settlements program. Now, this is what you will find. You will find in the housing code. Number of human settlements, everything we do is quantified. So in the housing code, you have all of these programs, the IRDP, the Vacant Residential Development Program. These are all the programs that we have in the code. In the year under review, we revised some of these programs. We have paid all the formal settlements program, the housing chapter of the RTP, the people housing process, which is now called EPHP, the program for socio-economic advantages, some colleagues who were not already in property in provinces, and aware that the grant can fund a recreational park, it can fund multi-table standards as well, because when we deliver a settlement, we want to make sure that all of the things are in place. individual housing program was reviewed, the social housing program, we did a review on the rural housing program, financing, individual subsidy program, operational capital subsidy program. This is what's called the offset. It allows provinces to use 5% of the grant to buy capacity to implement most of the program. The one program that they asked would need a little bit of time for us to implement is the housing voucher scheme. And we need to tell about it in a year under review. And we think that housing voucher scheme can be administered under the Union Settlement Development Bank, the new bank establishment, because it's linked to the products and services that are out, which is now part of the Human Settlement Development Bank has been implementing. In the execution of all of our work, we had to administer a number of intergovernmental relations programs. I'm not going to go through all of them, but there are a lot of them that are administering. The Intergovernmental Task Team on Conflict. Conflict is some of the former Kufut, the former soldiers who were working during the apartheid years, who are based in the Northwest. We had to find accommodation for them, because if we can't provide accommodation, they could easily provide or it could be a risk. If we don't manage them, we need to look where they are and where they stay so that we can manage some of the security risk associated with not managing that particular group. We have a similar arrangement in the Popo as well, in the Lamira, but it's still in the planning stage, and we'll report to you about it. There's the portfolio committee oversight. I think we've been a team chair in all of these disaster management, the joint committee, coordinating committee for land, which is chaired by DDGG. And this is the committee that administers all the land patterns that we are listing, whether they are from DPE, state-owned enterprises, or from public work. We got good and administer the use of land. We have Minister Moyer, too. Minister has approved an additional allocation of 100 million for Minister Moyer to the NISNA to deal with the disasters that we experienced today. I want to spend some time on others like FOSFAT and tech basic sciences. I won't spend much time. I think you're familiar with that. I'll get to the progress of delivery targets, and I'm going to ask my colleague, Joseph Shabani, to take us through those annual targets. And these are targets that first part of the problem. Just to give you a summary, and then we'll take us through the daily in that particular program, in the program. There were 8 provinces and 7 across which were supported from the implementation of the PhD police. And this is Western Cape. We still have a big PhD program in the Western Cape, Eastern Cape, KwaZulu-Natal. In this Cape, we have a PhD project in Nelson Mandela Bay Metro. In KZN, the biggest PhD program in the country. Which were monitored and verified through surveys. the total for 57 projects out of 424. We think we can do better here. In the current year, we want to increase that number, and we can do it through NHPRC, we can do it through the professional teams that we have appointed. We think this is one area where the AG was not very happy with us. We can increase the coverage instead of settling, maybe we need to cover all the projects. It's not many. I think we can afford to cover all of them. So for this example, I'm going to ask Joseph to take us through the dealings on the delivery target, and this is part of problem.
Madam Chair, committee members, Minister Deputy Minister Briefly, I will just talk through some of the delivery targets. In respect of delivering individual units, the target was to ensure delivery of 104,000 units in the subsidy market. As things stand, we only get delivery of 86,000 units with a variance of 26,000 units. In terms of affordable private rental, the target was to deliver 7,900 units. However, we could only deliver just over 3,500. Now, related to that, and I must emphasize that the target on the private affordable rental is really what we facilitate and assist private landlords to deliver in that respect. And the variance in there shows the difficulties with the private landlords in some cases reach a ceiling in terms of mobilizing funding for themselves to invest in that space. However, insofar as social housing is concerned, we have under-delivered by 2,465 units. Even though when you look at the SRA pipeline, you will see going forward perhaps a robust performance in that regard. But in this past reporting period, we under-delivered by 2,465. Insofar as the upgrading of informal settlements, and the target was to reach 150,000 households, as things stand, we can account for 89,000 households in informal settlements that were upgraded. Now, here, Madam Chair, we are talking very specifically the actual upgrading of a settlement from phase one, phase two, phase three onwards. Now, we measure then the movement of the settlement across those phases. Many informal settlements are stay-based. However, we want to see them changing physically over time. And that phase includes then providing more permanent features, whether it's cadastral, whether it's infrastructure, and so forth. Further to that, we are targeted to release land, 3,000 hectares of well-located land. But the issue here, Madam Chair, I must emphasize, perhaps acquiring and releasing the land is probably the easy part. What takes time, and we have to target that slightly differently, is then the rezoning of those land parcels. We all know rezoning takes time. In this reporting period, Madam Chair, over 3,300 hectares were acquired and all leased. I'm saying acquired because you either purchase it or you release it from another stakeholder. Now, of that, Madam Chair, we have seen the rezoning of 1,500 hectares. Now, we may have overachieved in terms of acquisition and release, but you will see we're lagging behind on the rezoning. Because you can acquire a lot of land if you're not turning it over, it's not ready for development. Madam Chair, in so far as the delivery of title deeds, the target range 327,000. Madam Chair, we registered as reported by provinces 81,000 title deeds. However, we could, as a national department now, independently verify 41,000 title deeds delivered. I don't have to repeat the depth that we've had to dig in order to re-steer this program. Madam Chair, you will see also that in terms of the new developments, we targeted to deliver 93,200 title deeds in terms of the new projects. However, only 81,000 title deeds. And again, Madam Chair, you will see the difficulty that we ran into. The provinces report the pre-94, post-94, and post-2014 title deed as one. And therefore, at the time, it was not possible to segregate or disaggregate the reports as reports submitted by the provinces. However, we could verify, as indicated, only 41,000 of the reports. Later we'll indicate, Madam Chair, how then we change the reporting arrangement and the verification arrangement. Madam Chair, just briefly, informal settlement in their complexity, we need to be clear how then we are responding to informal settlements. We need to assess and establish the development feasibility of those informal settlements. Madam Chair, we previously presented to the committee about the categorization. Of course, some informal settlements you can upgrade in this to others you can't. Other informal settlements are not feasible to develop where they are, and therefore relocation becomes necessary, hence the categorization. Madam Chair, let me confirm that we have undertaken the feasibility assessment of 61 informal settlements in the reporting figure, while the target was 400. And again, behind all of this is the capacity constraints that we did not resolve on time. So that's the list of the informal settlements, Minister. Sorry, Madam Chair. Once we assess informal settlements, we have to prepare the development plan, so that we assist the municipalities and problems to apply. So we've undertaken the preparation of 109 informal settlements development plans. Again, the target was 300, and what I achieved on this, again, it is the capacity constraint that we did not resolve or tackle. Further to that, Madam Chair, I suppose we're listing them according to the provinces, you see across all provinces concerned. Madam Chair, I will stop here. DG, I can present back to shall I continue?
Thank you, Chair. in Thomas and Kakri defense. The gentleman who is managing this program in that program is a cross meeting. That's why they are contributing with the meeting. The next slide talks to the delivery support. We talked about the general DFI operational innovation, and the target was not met at the end of the financial year. The three entities were not yet integrated because of the DFI. But you could identify and say the target was partially achieved because we submitted on time. I guess the changes at the executive level and further also affected the processing of this target, because there is a route to further on time and to be approved. That was to be approved by the Minister of Finance, not by the Technocrat. So we submitted, we met Technocrats, but the target was this particular item, which is Section 56, was only approved about a month ago, I think we were able to do it. 2 weeks to 1 month ago. The settlement center capacity audit not conducted in full is another target that was partially achieved. 4 municipalities instead of 9 were assessed for accreditation. You will recall, Chair, that we, with the former minister, this item was put on in a bed. It was a moratorium. And this particular one, the intention was to review the framework, the accreditation framework, which is why we didn't assign the 8 metros. We only accredited them to level 2, but there was no assignment done. TESCOM 42% of the HSDG construction budget allocated to women and youth contractors. And again, this is one subject that was not achieved. This is the 8% set aside. And what we achieved was 10.2%. The good news is that this is the same item in Munich. And we also appreciate the effort that the Minister General has put in holding provinces to account on this item, because 8% is law. The 8% set aside is not by the way, target. It is a target in the Division of the Labour Act, and we told the AG that probably can either achieve this target. There's no two ways about it. They have to achieve the target. The 8.09% of the ESDG construction budget allocated to women and youth contractors, and again you can see that the mentors are not doing well on this target. And we will definitely need your advocacy work on this matter, Chair, because we are of the view that it's one target that needs to be implemented with all the leaders. We do not shame the provinces that don't implement this target at Munich. But we think that in the year under review, the AG will have to qualify those provinces that are not implementing this target. This has not been performing for a very long time. We targeted to deliver 5,000 units in the beginning of the year, and we delivered 2,295 opportunities. Military settlements, again, you run the risk of sounding like a broken record here. The target in the beginning of the year was 1,700. And we deliver 210 units for many government. And this is one area that DJ Kuwaiti and myself must resolve as quickly as possible. Because the bigger challenge is around the administration of the beneficiaries, which is an item that belongs to DMV. How hard is to build the housing? But you can't build the housing if the beneficiary list is not sanitized. The total reported collision with data units and with the nearby 546 and we targeted to deliver 1,150. The CRU program replaced what was called the Hospital Redevelopment Program. The challenge that we have experienced in this area, which compelled the minister to ask the agencies to submit those projects for approval before implementation, is the unit cost variance. In one province, the unit cost is 800,000. Just 1 million. In another province, it's 250,000. In another province, it's about 1 million. We saw a lot of abuses, and we can share that with you. So we put some kind of a full moratorium, but to say, before you implement the project, please seek approval from the national standard, because we wanted to standardize the unit cost. You can have very many costs across provinces. The progress on catalytic projects, we contracted to deliver 48 approved catalytic projects, and we approved 48 catalytic projects, and they are all at the very stage of implementation. In Israel, we have a project in Emmanuel, in Newcastle, there are four projects, I'm told there will be five now in Ethiopia, that's another project. I'm about to go to what is called the Great City, Elasticity Regeneration, Umland Urban Regeneration, Hyde Park and Colombia. Colombia is a running project. Colombia and Guamashu are two projects that are running, others are being planned and are being packaged. In the Western Cape, we have two gates in the Eastern Corridor, the four tracker integration zone. We have the Lapa, Kepalich, Pesopoki, Wilderness Heights, Kleppenberg, Trandek, and Flagermark. Some of the projects in the Western Cape are running and others are being planned and being published. In Gauteng, we have Chief Ambassador, George Junior, Newport, Grandfather Old Location, SLS, Extension 3, Lion Park, Extension 4, Manigoba Ridge, Only West, Bosch, Tolini Extension, and Tolini Heights. Fort West, Extension 4 and 5, the project is under implementation, but there are some legal issues there that we have to resolve. Kirkney, in Poison, Extension 4, Western Area, Sefokodi, Alex City, Alexander, Lutherank, Never Team Renewal, those are the projects that are running in Gauteng. In the first stage, it's Bakenbach, Schwarzenberg, I won't mention all of them, I think this is pretty straightforward. We take it, most projects are in Nixon Mandela B. Metro, Zanipola, Yachlach, Quadibus, Tulika, also known as the U.S. and Angola Park. We also have the revitalization of dispersed mining towns, mining communities, and we manage this program together with the SDA, and I'm sure they will talk to it as well tomorrow when they present their annual report. We've got informal settlement upgrading, and last is the support part of it, and the other part is the capital program. We've got detailed planning and township establishment processes, title deed restoration, local human settlement, spatial transformation plan, land acquisition, partnership, projects with mining companies, what we call the employer assisted housing program, which is similar to government employee housing scheme. Development of project pipeline and technical verification of projects, implementation of catalytic projects, mining towns. There are projects shared at already, and we think those projects, some of them can be launched before the end of the financial year. They are short already, and we will get through most of those projects in the mining town before the end. The revitalization of the first mining town. Chair, this is just to share with you which we targeted. You will notice that we have not out now in another trip. We'll be having a workshop on Thursday and Friday with the mining company together with the Department of Water and Sanitation and the COPCHA to discuss all that in the mining company before the Thursday and Friday. The revitalization of the first mining town community or mining community is chair. This is just a list of all the things that were listed there. This program really we should support the chair. We also provide a scholarship program. And we presented this to you in our fourth quarter results. But we have 14 students who are doing Bachelor of Student Pertinence and they get the support and scholarship from the department. We have 42 students who are doing civil engineering, 19 students who are in the building sciences, 19 who are doing quality surveillance, and we have two who are doing town and regional planning, one on construction, another one on architectural technology, and two on taking course on mechanical engineering, and what student was doing as your technical engineering. Chair, this is just to share with you some of the support that you are providing the very capacity in the because you are the data management account. So in total, we have about 101 students who are getting support from the department. The next slide, I think, is just a breakdown by project. And I'm not going to spend much time on it. And we can go straight to the training of practitioners, and that is intended to demonstrate to you which provinces are targeted for training the practitioners, training the implementers in the industry, training them on land and property commission systems, on finance linked individual systems. And training them on human settlements, policy development, human settlements program, and policies. This is important to make sure that we retain and maintain capacity in the village. Some of these are fresh courses for people who have been in the village for some time. I'll skip that slide of training of the practitioners and then go to the findings and recommendation on the impact of human settlements development program. And here, Chair, these are the findings and recommendations coming out of the evaluation study. We start from the environmental impact of human settlements development. In terms of town planning, making specific recommendations there on town planning and environmental aspects. I'm not going to take you through all of these environmental evaluation studies. They are available. We can present them to you when we have time. But we have to do these evaluations to see the effectiveness of the product so that if we have to change that, we can change that in final decision. As you know, monitoring evaluation is a state requirement. I will jump to slide 30. The slide that we have here that on the summary slide. This is a summary slide chair on overall organizational performance. What the slide says, I'll break down by project. It says we achieved 52% of what we contracted to do in the year under review, which is 2017-2018. We achieved partially 23%, and we defined what partially achievement means in the judgment. And we didn't achieve 25% of the target. And I'll talk to that 25%, which are those targets that were affected. In terms of programs, you can see the summary. Program one, which is admin, we contracted to deliver 15 opportunities and achieved 8, and partially achieved 7. In program 2, we contracted to deliver 16, and we achieved 11. And Chad achieved 1, and not achieved 4. In program 3, which is program support, delivery support, the target was 9. In fact, you will notice that most of those targets that were partially achieved are under program 3. We achieved 6, we partially achieved 6, and not achieved 7. In the development finance, which is program 4, we contracted to 11, and we achieved 7, partially achieved 0, and not achieved is 4. In total, we have in our MPPs 51 targets. And out of the 51 targets, we achieved 32, partially achieved 14, and not achieved 15. In the MPSF chair, this is what we present to you and to cabinet constantly. We got the target. The first one is 685,000 additional households living in adequate housing through the subsidy and affordable housing market. Here we're sitting at 431. Before March next year, we need to deliver 203,000 households. The next one is 750,000 households in informal settlement. This is the last program and the frequency of Kenya in informal settlement. This target, we still confident that we're likely to meet it. The first one, we may achieve 90% of the target. The second one, we think that it's achievable. It's within our reach. We need to scale up our national upgrading support program, the NAS program that Joseph has presented just now. We still have to do 159,000 households. In terms of numbers, we've done 1,658 informal settlements. We have assessed, remember, we have to assess the informal settlement to determine whether the informal settlement is accredited, where it is, or to make a decision whether we need to relocate the informal settlements, because some informal settlements are in areas that are not accredited. That's why we do the assessment. We do geotech assessment, we count the dwellings, we count the beneficiaries, we do the pre-screening of the beneficiaries so that we determine. We finalize the upgrading plan. We know exactly what is happening in that informal settlement. This is the last program. Then we have 552,000 individual units for the subsidy housing sub-market. And that target is also achievable. Chair, we think that we can achieve that target before the end of the term of government. There's 27,000 social housing units completed or under construction. This is one target which may be difficult to achieve. And precisely because we started very late. We started with the stabilization exercise at SHRA. You will recall that in the first 3 years of the plan of government, SHRA was under administration. But we will get closer to achieving this target. And I don't think that the problem is money. I think the problem is catching up. We do have the budget. I must say, Chair, that we have a credible pipeline of social housing projects. We can meet maybe the target in the first year of the next year of government. The CRU program, this is an expensive program, Chair, I must say, because of the unit cost donation. And if we can arrest those violations, I'm sure we can easily meet the target. We can meet the target. We can meet the target because that's where the volume is. 55% affordable target vendors units delivered. We've regressed on this target. We started very well. I think the private sector was a 59. But we slowed it down over the last year. So then it's up to the opportunity to deliver the truth. What we started, we always knew that if we can spot out the differences between ourselves and the CSA, and I think we will resolve those differences. The ministers have met already to give us guidance on how to synchronize police with the house team. And this is what the house team is on the operational side. It's on the third thing on the loan. The FISP is on the capital subsidy side. It's more on making the housing stock available, affordable. The two targets, which we call the biggest in the room, is the custodian problem. This is one problem, Chair, I will not annoy you today by explaining all the challenges that were faced with this program. But we do have a plan in place. I think we've geared ourselves up properly. We will not just have some of the problems that they're not performing well, like Caucasian. They have built up a good infrastructure. We can tell you which properties are now affected by the township establishment, the opening of the township register. So at least we do have a handle in terms of what needs to be done. And if we're running a campaign on this particular program, because in some cases you have currently invested in the provincial and municipal offices that are not being fetched by communities. We want to run a communications campaign before the end of this calendar year. We will present that to you each once you see that campaign. Part of the problem again is finding the beneficiaries who are told no. Some cases is siblings who are fighting among themselves and we don't know who to give the target to. In Caldeen, we have already 3,000 properties that are locked into the township register that were not open when they started to be done. So we do have the handle. I think we're wiser now than before in terms of the municipality. It's good to present here, Chair, that the RDFI has not been doing badly in terms of giving loans. As you can see, the figures of DFI giving loans to beneficiaries is higher than what the commercial banks are doing, which is how DFI should function. DFI should go where no one is willing to go. So we think that we will get closer. We won't meet the target, but we'll get closer. The next slide, Chair, before I hand over to the CFO, this is the last slide, and the CFO will take us through the financial performance. This is just to fit those targets that we remember we've been talking about them globally. We wanted to specify which are the targets, which we partially achieved the targets that are not met. We achieved the land assembly target, but what we didn't achieve is the resolution. We didn't meet the target of the casualties, the assessment of municipalities for accreditation. I mean, we put that one on moratorium. We focused on reviewing the accreditation framework. Assessment of informal settlement at last, we didn't meet that target. Mobilization of partnerships towards human settlement development. The implementation of catalytic projects. Some are under planning and others are being implemented. And again, that's another target that we need to catch up with. And we think that target can be achieved before the end of this term of government. The development of the informal settlement upgrading plan, this is also a 5-year target. It's doable. We can achieve it before the end of the term. The upgrading of households in the informal settlement, that's another target that we think it can be achieved. I always make this point, Chair, that there is no informal settlement in this country unless the one not yet been invaded. So this has been a waste of time in damage. The majority of informal settlements are being serviced. The main issue is the level of service. Some cases you have 1 to 25 households or 1 to 30 households sharing one communication point. But the services are there. And in some cases, the challenge is maintaining the service. Then the next slide is the non-$22 million. This chair, the issue of sorting out the beneficiaries can be done. and be resolved. In this way, we have more than 500 projects that are running throughout the country. We have more projects where we can accommodate the military veterans. Of course, we need an assessment of where the military veterans are. So if we were to accommodate military veterans in mapping projects, we can deal with that problem immediately. The problem is the way it is. So it's the beneficial list. Some military veterans have received houses in the past, but they have aircon disease because they were in houses in 1999. So that we have to deregister for them. And that process of deregistering them and then take the house back and give it to somebody who takes a little bit of time. But we also pick it up that in some cases, beneficiaries are not obviously beneficiaries. It's people who are in their own SMDR. And the ruling by the minister was that we will prioritize the non-state veterans. In fact, in the West Texas, we are already allocating to non-state veterans, sorry, to the state military veterans. The new government projects afford the veteran housing opportunities. I think the construction sector and the property sector has gone down. I think the figures speak for themselves. Maybe this has a lot to do with the construction of the economy. In fact, we noticed that some of the big companies that have been operating in the industry, some of them are under business registration. I know two that are under business registration. They are not big projects, some of them projects. So the sector has been under, shall I say, depression. I mean, there's been technical depression in the sector. If I mean, good example. You can see big companies that used to work in the sector. You could buy and pay the rent. They're not doing very well right now. The USP evaluation study, we got the evaluation report, but we didn't deliver it before the end of the year. The prevention of the human nearby covered that, the human settlement sector capacity of it. Also, to provide it continued after the close of the financial year. So, without wasting time, I'm going to ask the CFO to take us through the financial performance. CFO?
Thank you very much, Mr. Good afternoon, Honorable Minister, Honorable DM, and Chair, and Honorable Members, and the team in the House. Chair, I think we can indicate to the House that for the past 2 to 3 years, the budget has been number two. So what you see here is what would ordinarily be saying is the normal allocation that the Department of National Treasury would allocate to the department, and in the process, using adjustments, will receive or reduce the allocation. So that did not happen, and we are still reporting the amount that was initially allocated to the department to the level of 83.5 round figure. So you've noticed that in the process of the year, we had our environment and shift in between programs in different actions, and we had reduced our administration budget by 7 million and split it between program 2 and program 4. And we took away 11 million from program 3 and also split it or segmented it between program 2 and 3 and 4 because of the depressed areas where we need more funding on them. And Chair, if you look at the whole slide, it tells what Minister indicated earlier in her opening remarks today. In the department, we had spent 99.7% of the budget. But I often qualify this by saying most of the money gets transferred, which is 100% of the development finance program, which is program 4, and it goes to the local and provinces as well as other entities. But if you look at the program, say it should be the very same program for that is 100%. If you were to break it down, you would see a different figure because it stands out from the operational budget of it, where the whole amount of that entire is spent. So your administration chair is at 91%, and program 2, 3, at the same time, is 89 and 76. And I think as we move over to the next slide, we will see the operational budget of the housing development finance application figure. But yeah, I think what's significant here and what the fellow committee would want to hear is why we had underspent the budget of the department. It's the fact that we had a number of issues that we could not cap during the year, such that if members also would recall that when we looked at the compensation of employees, we also reported in the beginning of the financial year last year that we were not going to fill all the different forms simply because we were mindful of the outer budget that was cut in as far as the COE and other items of concern. So we had to reduce or become slow in terms of appointing all our positions. But it's the effect that we wanted to allow all possible for this financial year of the year under review to spend the money and including this year because the budget at the same time as one will look at it from that year, 3 years following the budget that we reduced in 2018-19 and it will only increase by a small margin in 2019-2020. So we had to have a considerable care for us not to overcommit the COE as it's not allowed and would not have been in a position to even request additional funding to that effect. Similarly, Chair, if you look at our business and services, what I often say that when you have a fully capacitated structure, the goods and service budget gets affected. And this is where you would spend more than what you have in your budget. However, if we recall back, we had cost containment measures that we had to put in place, and the human settlement was one of those that had to implement their practice note in its margin. And we had to tackle issues whereby we had to even not spend much on our travel cost, but we did not compromise the quality of life by supporting the provinces and our national plans and expense mandated. And one of the issues that we could not even achieve in as far as human settlement and goods and services budget, which is part of the understanding, if we also look at our goods and services, because if you look at it, it's 83%. So that 17% was affected by a number of costs that were related to procurement that could not be met. And specifically when we look at our program, when we had an incident where we could not appoint on time, and then we had to stretch the procurement processes towards this financial year, particularly for internal audit. And at some point where we look at Program 3 at the same time, it could not achieve its budget simply because we had delayed the procurement as far as the NAS is concerned, because our professional resource team had also undergone its cost. And the procurement delay to appoint the PRC that has affected the program of the NAP in any period of time. And I think also just to put the lack of what we could not, or what could not make the 100% of our housing services, is the fact that the PISA, which we always had a problem with invoices, we could not pay some of the invoices simply because of the lower service that we provided in this financial year, in that financial year rather, 6 million of it remain underspending. But if you look at that economic association share, it tells you to say the only amount that one would classify as 100% is transfer. Where you would have had your transfer to NHFC and RAF during the period, receiving the capital grant, as well as the transfer and subsidies to your national and provinces, including some of the transfers to our SHRA, HDA, and CISO. And that's the only amount that one could say is 100% expenditure. However, if you look at the other, the value is affected by those areas of items that are presented as 100%. Next slide. Yeah, this indicates that if you look at the entire budget from the program part of it, specifically here is the law program unit where it is the chief of the CFO. The total allocation there was 84 million. So when you compare it to 100% of the transfer and segment it from the operational budget in February, then that you will realize that 8% that was not spent talked to the cost containment standard that we had to implement, and hence we could not spend all our money in terms of the traveling costs that we had to check and regard the next day. So this is the whole entire department is easier to see that it's 50 degrees, so they run six branches within there. However, the issue of the HSS falls into corporate mission program 1 and program 3, where the map is that's actually underperformed in terms of the spending. But the work that falls on the digital computer, partial achievement in terms of the program and some of the things that have been developed. Next slide. Okay, and I think from this one, I also want to render an apology. We took out the slide of the pie chart from the presentation. And I think we're trying to make life easy for all the members to be able to keep what we were going to take you to and for the presentation. But that one was in the form of presentation later. But it would have meant that I take it back to the previous slide so we should be able to see what percentages were there. But this one tells you to say of the amount that we had allocated in terms of our operational budget. If we take ministry, for example, it had a budget of 81 million. Then your red in terms of the green tells you to say you spent 73. Then the red and 7 million that could not be spent by ministry. And in that pie chart, it would have reflected the percentage policy. Similarly with all the other communities, we're trying to tell you how we had fed and the variances that we had in terms of your branches in the total. You can pass the slide. Okay, if you look at all these, it talks all our transfers that we make as a department, and we often talk to them and transfer to all our entities. The HLDG, which had a budget of 19.9 billion, which covered entirely income issues when we move over to the next slide. It tells us that we were given province the 19.9. And the HSD, the USDG at the same time, the problem is that if we won much, we would not have saved the money or transferred the money in the new financial year. So we had to close the USDG by transferring the entire 11.3 billion to all our veterans. Similarly, if you look at the entity, social housing regulator received three categories of the amount, the 46 million in terms of the operational budget, the institutional investment that supports the social regulatory authority, the CTG, as well as 861. If you look from that end, that budget is 1.2. That whole amount was transferred, and that talks to what we indicated earlier today. So the implementation plan that needs to make the pipeline, the credible pipeline to move. So that actually gives us complement that the pipeline project together with the provinces and metros respectively. Then we get so much of 29 orders transferred to our systems, and lastly, 88 speaks to 110 of the entire budget of our transfer. Then our commitments that we have in the department in the form of transfers, your UN heritage commitments that we often have every year, and the CSIR money that we have for the revision of the rental. Then the issue of the financial assets that I spoke to earlier is also transferred, the financial assets. It's the money that has been transferred to HSC into the research preservation, additional to their budget. And the last amount of 50 million that we have transferred to the rural housing loan fund. Okay, I think the major part of what DG and DG Michelle has spoken to in terms of the performance is what this grant has brought over the years and including what has been presented earlier on. I spoke of the 19.9 billion that was transferred as an initial amount that was allocated in the year of the working March ending. Two of the provinces would help them having received the highest budget of 5.5 billion and our lowest budget going to the Northwest Cape. That's the tune of 402 billion. And in between care, which is the year that we have indicated that there was a bit of a difficulty. We had to reduce money from provinces and reallocate money from other provinces who had projects that were ready to absorb additional funds. It really cost very well. We took 150 away from Gauteng. We took from the 450 and we took 300 million from Northwest. Okay, if you look at the provinces that I have marked to have taken money away, at the same provinces who at the end of the period did not even spend the entire budget of the year, which led us to at least have an unspent budget of 179 as the 1 March 2018. But in the middle of that, and I think this is where we say this some of the provinces had spent much of their budget, is the fact that they had received a rollover from the previous financial year 2017 to the value of 343 million. And almost all the provinces had received the approval of the rollover, in exception of the state, Eastern State, and Western State, because they had spent their entire budget that was 2016-17. And if you look at the entire amount that ought to have been spent by provinces, which were spending at 20.3, provinces went and spent 20.1 billion of their total available for all the projects that were planned for these people. So only 1%, and this 1% is the amount that we are awaiting National Treasury to provide a response as to whether it has been approved in terms of the process that has been undertaken. The next slide talks to the delivery, and if we go back to the presentation made by DG and DDG, it tells us to say from the MTSF part, these are units and sites that the provinces have achieved in terms of housing opportunities. The annual delivery target in this instance was 137,225 units expected. But we only achieved 135,982. And that 44 million, if we look at it closely, it contributed mostly by Gauteng province, the Northern Cape, so Northwest province, as I indicated earlier on, and the other one is Limpopo, and part of it comes from KZN. Although from the percentage part of it, the two provinces, which is KZN and Limpopo, have shown a significant achievement. In terms of what we would call the green, in terms of the green. We were dropped down again, as red indicates, Gauteng by 49, Northern Cape 63, and Northwest at 57. So the entire percentage achieved by all provinces stands at 35. Now, if you look at the top structures and the sites, some of them vary in terms of the provinces. But again, the housing top in terms of your top structure and in terms of the sites. Similarly, with your Northwest, it's top in terms of the top structure. So we have lost a number of top structures from KZN, housing, as well as Northwest. And from the side part of it, how big, as well as citizens in Popo. So that's 12,000 in contributory, all contributed by the two provinces. However, the money part of it, the two provinces, which is Kenya and many people have spent their budget at this entire. The next slide talks to your USDG, which is the indicator, it's the amount that we will give to Metro. And if we look at it, we are not in a position to can indicate to the House at this point, because this is an annual budget that has ended in 1 March, how much of the money has been spent by Metro. But I must indicate that if we take this allocation and what was spent then differs to the first quarter presentation that I had given to the Corporate Committee in the previous month, following the first quarter presentation. So there has been an improvement. I know that when we reported then we had issues in the province, Mangaung is concerned. And similarly, when we closed the year, we had Mangaung and part of how the Eguruleni that was not spent. But this is the amount that we had to deal with, indicate by the year that we had closed the 31 March.
If you can fasten up.
Okay, the fasten has taken 1.5 hours now, and we need to discuss.
Okay. Now the furniture, I think I can simply move on to the audit, because that's part of the UNDG form, part of what we have extended. Chair, I think when we move to the audit part, I think this slide does indicate that, and this has been also been emphasized by Minister Ndidi today, as a department, we have done very well in as far as our financial statements is concerned. We have received an unqualified audit opinion in as far as step 3 from the material restatement on your annual financial statement, but we were disappointed by the letter of emphasis that we received from the predetermined objectives. And those predetermined objectives were received from Program 2 and Program 3. And I think that we move better share, and I think I'll just quickly go through them. Is the fact that if we look at Program 2, we had an issue which was also inspired by DC, the issues of the rezoning of the land, the governance, and the new ones, and the issues of the privacy. Okay, on this one, we should not get the information as both indicators to say we had to struggle when we had to keep up the update the issues of the privacy as indicated by the DC. And we could then get margin for machining as far as the issue of the rezoning, why we had to try to put it as a key performance area in terms of our land acquisition and the release of that. And in Program 3, with the specifications in terms of the limitations, and as far as the evidence, the only evidence that we could not receive from provinces, they could not provide us with information on the issues of individual subsidy and the issues of your affordable rent house. In some way, somehow, we could not even verify the number of beneficiaries that we have as the entire letter. The information there was incomplete. So while we had Program 4 also clouded as one that could have received a certification, we had to provide AG with the information that was not required, and subsequently Program 4 also received an unqualified audit opinion. The next slide talks to the outcomes, and this is just a very simple slide that tells you to say the structure of the performance of the department in terms of failure and essentially the status and the health part of your financial position of the department. And we were only found wanting in terms of the information technology and the issues of the quality of information that was happening. And this is what led us to have those qualification as received in the Program 2 and 3. So I think when we look at this whole, I will not go through it, what we are saying is that while we have the information that is needed by the agency to be unreliable, and because of the fact that they base their opinion on the discipline of unreliability of information, we had engagement with the AG as well. We are going to have an engagement again with National Treasury. However, we'll also come up with an engagement with provinces and metro for us to have come up with an issue of us coming up with consolidated as well as information related to what ought to have been received during the year under review, so that we do not have the same problems that we have received in this financial year. I'll skip some of the slides, Chairperson, and I think at the end of the day, if one looks at the action that is taken, we will be in a position to indicate to the House that the action, audit action plan that has been put into place, is cutting across branches, it cuts across provinces, and it cuts across the metros as well. So the information that led us to find could not be verified between our metros, between our provinces, between HDA, as well as between the social, the sponsors of the CRO. So that kind of the indicators that we have to come up with will be contracted through our IGR and through the DPME as well. And I think as we shall be reporting in the next financial year, with all the processes that we are putting in place, we should be in a better position to present a different scenario in the next financial year. Most probably the less metal of the digital indicators, the clean report. I will stop there, Chairperson, for those issues where we have put measures in place to handle it.
Chair, these are the areas that they are actually performing, so we ask you what do you do before the air has a financial year. We have referred the implementation of the formal settlement of the program. We have to scale up that program. We need to accelerate the issuers of currency. We need to scale up on that program. There are three problems that are still keeping us very much awake at night. In the strategy space, strengthen the human settlement capabilities and position them as key force regarding the human settlement expansion. We talked about the multi-LM strategy with SDA. The FLIP program needs to be linked to the catalytic program, but it also needs to be linked to the government employee housing scheme. Design and implement an integration program for small contractors, and we think that this can be done and we can use the 30% certified. Chair, without going through all of them, these are the areas where we have not been performing. The future plan, I'm not going to spend much time, these are the pieces of legislation that we need to process going forward. I just wanted to touch on one item before we hand over to you or to the minister, that there's an area which we have been trying to resolve for some time now. That's correct. So if you can go back. The reason where we want to meet with Treasury and DPME is to resolve this issue around the customized personal accounting data, because we still not finding each other with AG on the matter of customized personal accounting data. And we want to sit down with National Treasury and the DPME, because they are the ones who set up the framework. We are of the view that all what we are to get from policy is a business plan. And the business plan is program 3, if you read what program 3 is about. So we thought that the only program in the ABP of provinces and the ABP of the National Department that needs to be customized is program 3, because that's what the grant binds. It binds those things that are in the business plan. Program 1, program 2 in provinces, and program 4 is not an area where we think we should be talking about customized technical indicators. If we are wrong, the Treasury and DPME will let us know. That's why we want to meet here. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, a very detailed report. You see what you are trying to do there. We're trying to explain so that you will have less questions. We have to support you with questions. I'm allowing the members of the portfolio committee to ask questions of clarity and debate. You don't have to raise your hand. I'm allowing all of you to speak. So I'm not going to call your name. And if you have your say, so don't bother raising the hand up. This is an annual report. Your last one. So all of you will speak. Let me start with you, Honorable Cabinet. What we will do, I'm looking at the time, I know that there's tea at the back. When you finish to say your say, you can just get a cup of tea. But you are not really going to have any break. But you can just go and get some.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. And thanks for the elaborate presentation. My first question would be on the issues of the invoices that we fail to pay on 30 days. And still have a check of follow-up 4.4 that was not paid according to the same case. And then you have to elaborate for us on that one. And the issue of the price, this you are explaining an even requesting for an apology that you did not achieve that. And then I see you say you are going to accelerate something that you have been reporting that you are accelerating in the previous presentation. What I will want to know is how part of acceleration, how are you going to do it to accelerate? And the other question is the issue of the coordination between the fiscal support instrument and the human settlement program. Seems like there is no coordination. What possible improvements can be undertaken to ensure that there is better coordination? And thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Honorable Cabinet. Honorable Pa.
Chair, in God. We all welcome the report. But I think looking at the report and considering the presentation itself, I have a sense that there's nothing new. Because some of the things we saw in the previous report that was presented to this committee. For instance, Jefferson, if you look at upgrade of informal settlement, police program, Title B, these are some of the issues that have been raised to the department throughout the period that has been reporting to this committee. Now, we don't have much time before the end of the term. I'm trying to link what I'm saying with what Uma Mungadi meant in the issue. That I'm not sure where the miracle will come from that will turn things around, especially on the specific area that I've alluded to. Because if you look, for instance, on this, there's 70,000. And today it's 8,300 plus, and outstanding for the variance is 61,620. So I'm looking now at the target that we have to achieve that kind of target. So for me, I'm yet to convince how we can get half of what we are spending. Again, if you look at what the AG assisted us with earlier on. The one, lack of consequence management by the department. I want to make an example about fruitless expenditure in terms of page, I think I found on what on the forward file by the PG. Oh, yeah, page 13, thank you. Where, for instance, a car was hired for the minister was wanted for physical choice. And if you look at it, disciplinary steps taken for criminal proceedings now. Now, I would be interested to get a sense of how does one do that and with no consequence. Or probably something is still underway, but at least I would like to know as to why now no one was taken to task about such fruitless expenditure. Something that could have been known by any senior official within the department. At the end, Chairperson, if you look at the fruitless expenditure, which has risen from trade union now about, I'm not talking now, I know that we'll be talking to NDP, but I still think that that also reflects on the department itself. Here's the reason from 14.8 million. And so some of the things, for instance, if I can make an example, one would like to know in terms of resource, for example, with the investment that was done or that was on BBS Bank and stuff, why did it take long to act on such matters with the suspension and stuff when we knew or when we could see where the problem lies? So I'm very sure, I mean, for me there's nothing new. We've seen some of these and OCG has promised us previously that in terms of performance on LLP, there's a plan underway to identify what the issues were, and again today that's what the region is telling us. Now I'm saying that for me, I don't see how it will be turned around. Thank you,
Chairman. Thank you very much, Honorable
Pastor.
Honorable Madam.
Thank you, Chair. I only have a comment, no question. Having listened to the presentation, it took me back to the role that this department had traveled since 1994. When Susie took over, one of the departments, 94, since this department was established, you know. And for a moment I closed my eyes and I pictured South Africa then and today that it is not the same. With all the challenges that the department has had. From the RDP to GEA, with all the policy challenges also that we've gone through. I'm saying this because it's my last piece. I will never be able to speak to the department anymore. So, yeah? When? Or before? Oh, okay. Okay, but anyway, okay. And again, what came to my mind is like those who are soccer fans are not very much familiar with soccer, but this time that you are a waffle. You know, given by the penalty and your team has done so well, it has reached the last game of the World Cup. And they have to save a goal that will make them to win the World Cup. But unfortunately, they are unable to say it. What do you do? I'm in that situation, and I want to really compare the department with my team that has lost the final, that could not save the final goal of the World Cup. I personally would not cry. In fact, I would say they are winners because at least they fought until the end. My only observation, that might not only maybe be linked to human settlement, is that I personally feel the system of public service that we use is not in the family. It's definitely not achievable. Given to the fact that you have to do everything within a very short space of time. Look, human settlement is disadvantaged because in most programs, they themselves are not personally hands-on. You get the money, then you transfer to provinces, you further transfer to entities that you do not, provinces that you do not have direct, what is this? That they do not directly account to you. That they do not directly account to parliament, but that accounts to legislators. So the system itself is the problem. If you get clean audits, I don't know how to do it. And I don't know how many clean audits have you got for this every 5 years. But if you don't get the audit, we should understand, you know. The other critical issue, Chair, is that the targets that you approved are not realistic. You set yourself very, very high targets. They are not achievable. So going forward, you are wiser now. Set yourself targets that you can achieve. Do not transfer money unnecessarily, high amount of money. One, two provinces that are unable to deliver, and entities that are unable to deliver, because that has got a negative bearing on your performance. Yeah, congratulations.
Thank you very much, Honorable Mare. Honorable Juan. My serious concern, that I don't know how to answer it, and I'm sure you know, is the issue of these three provinces. I'm sure it's not for the first time discussing these provinces, they've been called. They've called these provinces many attempts to this community to come in a car. But see, that things are not changing. I know for a fact that at some stage in the department there's other members, officials to go and assist. And when we check by that time, the work was done, and we came to the city as far as it is. But now, the same problem is when that was the official was out, the province was there where it was. And we see that. I don't know how can we assist them and have the department. What best can they assist to this province with this challenge that they have? To chair, the issue of the military veteran. I'm sure before the first minister, past minister was giving a moratorium that by the end of the weekend that this issue of the military veteran must be concluded. And we still have this issue of the military veteran still on the table. And I ask myself, when am I going to conclude what the politician or the principal has committed themselves to? And nothing is still here. Lastly, in this report, we met with the DPME, and this report says the department is planning to pay all suppliers in that case. All suppliers. I just want to get the charges from the department. Because the department already reported that it's only 95% is actually 95% of the payment of 13 of the suppliers. So I just wanted to get the really what is the real answer for this? Or the department can rectify that with the DP, and he has not regulated them well. Those are my questions. Thank you, Chair. Thank you very much, Honorable Farai. Honorable Soli.
Thank you, Chair. I think I want to start where Honorable Mali finished off, Chair, in terms of the intergovernmental relations and the challenge that it presents probably to us, but even to the department in terms of us doing our role here, because the three provinces that Honorable Horai is referring to are the provinces that throughout this term were pledged several engagements with them. And if I recall very well, at one stage there was even interventions that were put in place, both at the provincial HOD level with the DG in terms of regular interaction. But it doesn't seem that there's been positive results. And I think it's important for us to be given insight into how far did those interventions not go or go in terms of turning around the situation which remains as is. Because as much as the department is hamstrung by the performance of the provincial department and the entities, when you are here, we have to engage you on what is here. And what is before us is the representation of the state of human settlement in the country as is. And I think it's important for us to have a clearer picture so that even in our engagement with those individual entities and most of these three provincial departments, that we can up the ante in terms of our engagement with them. But the second issue is regarding the two entities, NHBRC and CISOS, because in the earlier discussion there was an indication to the collapse of actually good governance in some of these entities. And I think, Chair, it is time that we also have like a robust discussion about this, because this board are accountable to the executive authority and, you know, to the department, that we also need to get the sense of the level of interactions that the department and the ministry have had with this board or these entities just before, because these situations just don't happen overnight. They build up and create a series, through a series of actions in regards to a situation wherein there is a regression in terms of both financial performance or good governance practices. And the third question here is surrounding the department's acquisition of land program. Because it was stated earlier, I'm just curious to find out, you know, the geographic spread across the provinces. Because one of the things that constantly keeps being highlighted, particularly in metros, is the shortage of capacity of land that is suitable, more importantly, for social housing. As we try and make metros and cities and urban spaces more inclusive of different people, so that we can clearly have this sense of where are the spaces that are underutilized and which ones can be leveraged to build livable human settlements. And fourthly, Chair, is just on an administrative issue, and this results to financial management. I mean, the report, there's an indication of cost overrun for the government media award, but there's no explanation as to the factors that led to that. So I'll appreciate a response in terms of what contributes to the cost overrun for the government media award. And linked to that is the scholarship program for human settlement. I think it's all commendable to have this program where we're building the next generation of experts in the industry so that people can be qualified. But I think it is also important to have a sense of the value for money if we are getting any from this program. Out of those 101 people who have been awarded the scholarship, what is the projection in terms of their performance, and how many of those who have been funded have actually went on either be absorbed through the department and the entities and beyond, so that we can start to see that investment gets back into the department. And lastly, I mean, this issue with the leasing of vehicles, as the same my colleague touched on earlier, but I think for me it's quite simple, because it happened for the second financial year. In the previous financial year, there was, in the annual report, a vehicle was obtained or procured, whichever the correct financial term is, while there was another one. And then the explanation was that it wasn't in the condition to be used at the time or in terms of whatever the security standards or reinforcement that we had. But in this case, I think it's extraordinary that a vehicle was packed, was leased while there was one that was in there. I think we just need an explanation to was this a result of a request that was made for a new vehicle? Was this an over-eager staff member making a procurement on a transaction that shouldn't have happened? Because the fact that there was no consequence makes it even more extraordinary. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, Honorable Madatu. Honorable Kadim.
Well, thank you very much, Chair. I want to sing as almost and welcome the presentation.
But you know you can't sing.
Yeah. I'm just singing but talking. Yeah, there are a few questions. This is an honorable woman for the department. I think maybe it's a matter of omission or what, but I didn't hear anything about the strategy in which the department is going to have in dealing with the worst case of them. I didn't hear anything about that. Yeah, that's what we're telling you. Yeah, it's for nothing. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, the question that I wanted to find out because why I'm asking this question is because you see, this little man said about people living in farm area, especially on housing. What is the department saying about that? Because I think if you put together all this thing I'm raising here, I think it will come up. I will hear something on what the department is actually achieving. Because I want the department to achieve more. As they were saying, my honorable member there. But I'm not so sure. I don't want to be provincialized, but I didn't hear much of my problem. Is that? Yes. I don't hear anything about it. No, I want to hear what is happening that is a problem because there are a lot of machines and maybe there are a lot of data that I don't know. But it exists in as far as that problem is concerned. So I need to hear about it. It is always supposed to be included in the the Pakistan program operation Pakistan Trajeta seemingly is just not reporting this important matter. So I'm just checking it what is happening in other provinces. And what is Pakistan program. The other question is in regard to the municipalities. You see, the challenges that municipalities have, some of them they don't have capacity in terms of running this program. We find that houses are built, but at the end of the day, those houses are not of a good quality. So what is it the department is doing in order to make sure that they deliver a good service to our people. Because people are given opportunities to sign AP letters, but at the same time, when rain comes, they are suffering. When disaster comes, they are the people who are suffering. Because most of those buildings have been swept away by water or by disaster. So this is the question I need clarity on. The other one is with regards to the challenges, because the department says that there are challenges in certain areas where they are not able to achieve. So, but in a nutshell, some of the things they said, but some of the things they didn't. So I just want to know, what are the real problems in the challenges that they faced? The last question, Chair, I've noted it here, is about maintenance. The problem of maintenance, I don't see it here. Because we should have a maintenance program that will assist the department. Whenever they build, they must have the program of maintenance. Because in some areas, they are just building and going. But at the end of the day, there are no maintenance. And then the last question is what is with...
that was the last.
Yeah, but what?
The
last question is regarding with AG. Because they raised concerns that the old opinion is based on the usefulness and reliability of land, and what they need the conciseness of this. But I'm challenged because when AG does his findings, in certain areas is not changing. What he has audited last is also going to audit today. Whereas there are a lot of changes that happened during the last one and this one. So this is the question that I wanted to raise. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Honorable Rogati, in some of your questions, please remember them to raise them again with the NHP asking tomorrow, particularly around the issue of quality of housing, because they are the ones that actually approach. So you can don't use that question, it's very critical when you engage with NHP asking tomorrow. Honorable Governor.
Thank you, Chair. Let me also welcome the detailed presentation, Chairperson, and also agree with Honorable Bach that a number of issues that come from the report are actually matters that we have been dealing with as and when the department came through to report. There are a few issues which I would just want to pass through, which sticks out. Your guest mentioned the military death. The figures that we see there, in as far as the outcomes are concerned, are actually figures that we have seen in November last year, and during the course of the report. So there's not been much movement. And similarly, your title this program also comes across that not much has changed. And the capacity to change it in the remaining few months I think it's a challenge that we would not be in a position to achieve. Now on page 3 of the report, there's a question that deals with where we deal with, I mean, on program 3, and our department versus your provinces. The question that the provinces report on the matter in a different manner, and there's no synergy between what is reportable at departmental level and at province and the concurrency part of it. That customization program which was alluded to, I think we need, because next year we're going to have the same report. If we don't come up with a customization mechanism to streamline what is happening at provincial level with what is happening at the department, because all the good work the department is doing is being drawn back by programs and reportables at the level of the province. On page 8 specifically, we mentioned that there is the process on delivery targets. When we set up our targets, we say 3,000 hectares of well-located land. Then we say acquire, we say rezoned, and we say release. Part and parcel of the problem that we have alluded to is that in as far as the acquiring, it happens. In as far as the releasing part and the rezoning part, it becomes a function that falls within the municipality. What would the department do in terms of, or what is the possibility of looking into separating certain targets that we have? Because if you look at the entire line of that target, we know that we can be in a position to purchase land, but there is going to be a problem in the process that the municipality is doing, and sometimes it might be also a question of unwillingness. And that is a big concern. And on another front, you also have reports that you see from provinces which come after the audit has been done. And if you look at them, if audit has been taken into account, it might also change the complexion of how the audit looks. And perhaps it's also a question of unwillingness from the provinces to supply you with what you need. You have given examples, e.g. The provinces have given us how many titles they have done. The department cannot verify physically what has come through. So those inconsistencies make the department look bad when the department is actually supposed to be performing. The 30% set aside, youth and women, I think it's an area that we also need to look into with a specific program that can come, because when you look at the community level, the need for that to happen is there. Projects are being blocked because of that. At the level of an audit part of it, we cannot achieve it. But there is a need for that to happen. So most of your protests come from, actually people are already stopping projects and demanding it now, not in work, they want that person to physical money now. But there is a need when you look at the database of women and youth. For that to and those are the things that are taking out. Those are what the AG is coming on. If we become practical in terms of time frame between ourselves, the provinces, with regard to what needs to be submitted, it's also something that needs to be done. Chairperson, as I said before, the report is a summary of what we have seen before. The three provinces, we have seen them, we have called them, we have the same figures. I'm actually volunteering to donate my province to Mpumalanga, to Mgabin, so that they can talk about it more. But we next year we'll sing the same song because of the question that deals with, you rightly said, DG, in my province, five HODs in 5 years, or maybe even less, three, four MECs, and it's consistent with the underperformance of that specific department. And at another level, that should also be taken into account so that it gives effect. Thanks, Chair.
Thank you very much, Honorable Gorman and Honorable Nepal. I'm hoping that the fact that the department brought its full complement of division here will help in terms of correcting some of the things moving forward. Because if you listen to members, their contribution, you will agree with me that a lot of your bottlenecks are related to intergovernmental relations between the metros, maybe provinces, and the national department. And also, your underperformance is linked to how concurrent issues are being managed. Whether you talk entities, whether you talk departments. And I'm raising this so that it becomes something that, as we plan for the next term, it's something that we look at and see as a department, what is it that you can do better to manage this process. And I'm reminded of the fact that maybe, luckily, the human settlement bill is not done yet. Maybe as we do that thing, some of these gaps must be managed there so that they assist us to deal with some of these problems. I'm not talking in, because if you listen to many problems, probably that human settlement bill is going to help us. Remember, we don't have a human settlement bill yet. And whoever CPGs will be dealing with that, do it in such a way that these gaps that everybody has raised are sort of locked into that bill so that we are able to work better with provinces and to work better with metro. I just thought probably it's important that it's something that we might not be here, some of us, in the next term, but you people will be here. So that's important that you do that for the next term. But having said that, there are particularly critical areas that are important for us. I think they've been raised by some members, but you have entities that seem to be sliding down. It's going to be very important for the department to actually clarify to us how, because ultimately the entities are the entities of the department. What is it that is a good relationship between yourself and the entities? I think somebody raised it to say, rather than having the issues raised at the end, what is happening in that dealing as problems and crises are being identified? Just to have a sense. We will interact with them tomorrow, but it would be nice to hear what the department says, because ultimately they are your entities. There's an issue that I know that DG raised it in passing in the report, but the AG says you have indicators that are not customized. I know you've tried to deal with it. And this has been an issue that was raised even in the last financial year. It's raised again. Now, we asked them and said, when you interact with the department, what do they say is the problem? And the issue of it says, the department says the indicators are customized at the business plan level. But when you come to the ATP, there seems to be a problem. I'm struggling with this because I would have thought that the ATPs are rising from the business plan. So if you can customize the indicators at business plan level, what is then the problem customizing them at the ATP level? Because there shouldn't be that it's a big problem, but maybe it's something that you need to clarify to us, because it is becoming a repeat of the findings that the AG has raised with yourself on 2017 and 2017-18. Or if then there's a lack of clarity between AG and yourself when you explain yourself, it's something that must be explained, because you have an unqualified body to it, some matters of emphasis, and this is one of them. So it means you are not able to explain yourself adequately to the AG so that he understands the office, that he understands this. I just have something like that. Because for me, it shouldn't be a major issue if you are able to customize them as the business level. So maybe if you are not finding each other, and what could be done that you have them to find each other. There is I think the issue of the status is I'm not even going to labor on it. Because once I do, it normally gives me high blood pressure. And today I'm trying to maintain my high blood pressure issue. The only thing there, I think members have raised it, is an issue that has been sitting up with us now for this entire term. It's an issue that yourself, the department, raised it as one of the things that you want to achieve. And the truth of the matter is that you have performed dismally on this indicator. Now, you have changed your approach on this many times. And you don't seem to be winning. I hear you said we seem to be finding it, but remember, when we talk about the diagnosis, we talk about something that is closer to our people, that they can carry in their hand. At least this is not something that is a policy or something. It's something that they can say, I have a diagnosis. Now, it is something that we need to find a way to make sure that we turn things around. Can we have a proper explanation of what you are going to do? When we raise this issue with the PME, they said there is an acceleration plan that they have put together with yourself to try and deal with some of these areas. Can we have that comeback and confirmation of this plan? And where is this plan? Can it be shared with us, this plan, so that we can see that it's doable? It's something that we can hold on our hands. On the issue of the equity target, I am not happy that we sit here and be told that we are not meeting the 30% of women and young people. The fact that we have met 10%, we have met 8% is not enough. Can we, the department has even had a summit on women on this, and women were crying about this 30%. What is it that is making the department not reach 30%? It's something that we can tear out, and maybe we need just to have a sense of, does the department understand the gravity of this target that we are not meeting, that talks to women and young people? I'm quite happy that you yourself have highlighted the three problems And I know Honorable Kabini is very sad that Mpumalanga is not there. We are very happy that Mpumalanga is not there because we don't want all the people to be there, Honorable Kabini. We actually don't want anybody to be in this state. Now, the three provinces in particular is Limpopo, Gauteng, and Northwest. We quite understand the Northwest situation because we have seen the problem, and that is why right now they have to come on the 29th of August and share with us what is it that they have got in terms of child and the girls around. I'm more worried about Limpopo because Limpopo, when at the beginning of September was at this situation, you intervened as the department and they became one of the best provinces before the financial year after intervention. You moved out of the province, now they are back to square one. And I think this talks to the issue of concurrence. What is it that we can do better? That when we support provinces and then the department moves out, they are able to sustain the fact that there is an assisted improvement. Because we cannot be going in and out of a province. Or how do we then make sure that if you have to be permanent there, the legislature says that? Because it looks like the provinces are not able, they are the ones that are bringing you down in the department. The real job of the situation. You are not performing because the provinces are not performing. Long term plan then, what can be done? Because you are sitting with Gauteng, which every day you are talking about it. We don't seem to be getting out of the hole. They improve a little bit, they go back. They improve a little bit, they go back. We're sitting with Northwest and administration. We don't want to see all provinces going to the same situation. There is something that needs to be done long term. And I think it's something that we need to lock ourselves in a room as the bureaucrats and discuss this and come up with a clearer plan because it reflects on you as if you are not doing much. And yet, it's not you as an appliance department. It's those good. But we would love to hear what you're saying. The AG says, how then has been seen as the provinces that broke the door in terms of transferring funds to GPF without permission. This is what AG says. And this is seen as becoming a problem. In your interaction with them, can you put us into confidence? Is this true because they report to you? Have they broken the door, therefore? Or what is it that you can tell us about this? Because that's what they should say. We might have different ideas, but we just want to have a sense if this is really the truth. And just lastly, in your report, there's nothing that is covered. There's nothing that is covered on student accommodation. In what the department was, I know probably in the last financial year you didn't have any plans about this, but just to have a sense. Is it something that is within our data as human settlement or it falls somewhere else or are we dealing with it? I know I'm raising that in the face of the poor performance of SRA and the poor performance of the rental stock, which we will engage with SRA tomorrow. But when we engage with them, we don't want to be out of 10 when we ask about their plan for student accommodation if the department doesn't have that. Thank you very much. I thought what we need to do, let's allow the officials to respond, Minister, and then you will pass to them. Where's the other mic? Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. All the questions we think are very relevant. The questions that will assist us to deal with some of the challenges going forward. My colleagues will assist me as the division of labor or the work amongst the seven of us. But I want to start, Chair, with the second last question, which talks to the division of Revenue Act. This is the situation. When we amend the business plan, when we make changes on the cash flow projections to provinces, what is expected of us is to complete the loop, is to amend the business plan submitted to Treasury, for Treasury to amend the cash flow projections going forward. That's a requirement by the Division of Revenue Act. We signed an implementation protocol with the province and with the HDA and with the GPF. We did all of that, and Treasury didn't have a problem with that. But the mistake that we made was not to complete the loop. We did an addendum on the business plan and not submit it to Treasury, because the reality is that when you amend the business plan, you are changing the basis for the disbursement of the grant. When provinces amend the business plan, they need to submit that to the provincial treasurer, who in turn must submit to the transferring officer, for the transferring officer to submit it to national treasurer, so that the cash flow projections can be changed. So we did everything. The disbursement was linked to projects, but we should have closed the loop, then write to Treasury and say, we have amended the business plan. The cash flow projections have changed. They are not the same. Now all of a sudden, you have more money going to the elite, and that money changes what was projected, which if you look at Treasury's the end of the year function, there was a whole thing, which was not in the original business plan. So we needed to do that, and again, we took full responsibility, both the government and ourselves, for that, and it's not going to happen again. Every time we amend the business plan, we need to complete the loop, and we need to submit to Treasury, and we also need to submit to you.
But you do have an implementation protocol?
Yes.
With the entity?
Yes, both entities. Yes,
okay.
We have an implementation protocol.
Okay.
Yes. So the disbursement is linked to the project. So every time we amend the business plan, we shouldn't just do an addendum. We should submit an amended business plan and submit it to Treasury. It's a dollar requirement, and I'm sure the CFO can attest to that. The question on student accommodation, DDGJ will touch on that, because we only started accelerating that program in this current financial year. The three provinces, Chair, I think it's important to state this upfront. There's a study that was done by DPSA, and that study, maybe we should ask DPSA to present it to you at some point. It says there is a positive correlation between the lifespan of an AJOD in the department and the performance of that particular department. And that study is available. We looked at it. In fact, even in this sector, our own sector, you will notice that those provinces that are not doing very well are provinces that had instability at an executive authority level and also at AJOD level. You can go and do your own research, and you will notice that Kaudeng had 5 AJODs. They also changed their MECs. Northwest, they had 5 AJODs, and they also changed the MECs. And that creates instability at an executive level. It also creates instability at a management level or administration level. And I think that's one part that we need to resolve. You can see it even at a metro level. The AJOD in the city of Johannesburg, for instance,
there has been change in Eastern Rand currency, and the city of Johannesburg has not performed. For the last 2 years, we have taken money away from the city of Johannesburg because there is instability in the human settlement department. The same applies to the city of Cape Town. The city of Cape Town has never spent 100% of its allocation. They have changed the executive director several times. So I just wanted to demonstrate the picture that there's a limit in terms of what we can do as a department. At the end of the day, the only way to stabilize these entities is to get them stabilized both at an executive authority level and also stabilized at HOD level. There was a time when there were three provinces who were not doing very well in this industry. And again, it's good to show how long I've been in this sector. In between 2009 and 2012, we used to take money away from Eastern Cape. We used to take money away from Mpumalanga. We used to take money away from Free State. Yes, Free State. Those three provinces were not doing well. Right now, the Eastern Cape is a star performer. Gauteng used to absorb all the money from other provinces in 2010, 2011, and 2012. But now Gauteng is not doing very well. It's like this thing is cyclical. But at the end of the day, Chair, I don't want to spend much time on this one. It's about leadership at all levels. It's about leadership at an executive authority level, and it's about leadership at HOD level. The question about the technical indicators, maybe DTG Chain can explain it better than me. I'll ask him to come in on this one. Chair, the only reason why we get the business plan from provinces is because we want to spend the grant. What is in the APP? Maybe that's the starting point. That's how we explain this thing. What is in the APP? In the APP, you have four programs. In other provinces, you have five programs. Program one is administration. That's what it's about. It's about HR, all those corporate issues. Program two is policy, legislation. In some cases, you have provincial policies that talk to provinces. Program three is housing delivery. It's either you have a site or you don't. It's either you have a house or you don't. It's either you have a title deed or you don't. So the bulk of what goes into the business plan is in program three, Chair. It's not in program one. It's not in program two. It's not in program four. It's in program three, the business plan. Almost all of what is in the business plan is in program three. So the business plan is what helps us to do technical indicators in program three. It's what helps us to customize the indicators. When we say this year we will deliver 171,000 housing opportunities, that comes from provinces. In those provinces, those targets will be in program three because that's what the money will buy. The bullet that CFO talks to, which is requesting GPME and Treasury, is intended to resolve those issues. You're not necessarily going to resolve them with the AG because they are not policymakers. They don't develop frameworks. It's Treasury and GPME who are developing the framework. We explained it to Treasury, we explained it to GPME, but we still don't find each other with AG. I think we will be able to explain it this year because take the housing department of human settlements. What is in program one is not all the targets that they are targeting in program one, we don't spend money on them as national department. They use the equitable share to buy those targets in program one. But there may be targets in other programs that don't use the grant to purchase, and we don't have to contract with them on those targets where we're not spending the grant. But in those targets where we're spending the grant, we have technical indicators. We have quarterly performance reviews. We hold them accountable on a quarterly basis. We tell them where they are performing and where they are not performing. And when they don't perform, we don't perform. Perhaps DTG Chain can come to this item. On CISOs and the NHPRC, I think Minister is better placed to talk to that one. I think Minister has acted on this one, and she has provided leadership on this particular board. And within the shortest possible time, Minister has managed to put her foot down in both CISOs and also at the NHPRC.
I will leave it to Minister to talk to that one right at the end. The titling, there's a question about the titling. I'm sure DDG Shaban will come in as a leader of that particular program. But I think we have made changes, significant changes. We spent, if you like, 2 years, or if I may put it that way. The first 2 years of this term of government was a very painful 2 years. There was a time when the former minister tried to take over this particular program and run with it from national, and we received a lot of resistance from the provinces, three provinces in particular, those provinces that are not performing on this type of thing. They refused, and there was a massive pushback because we wanted to take over the program and run with it ourselves, because this is a strategic national target. It's not just any other program, the political program. But we do have a structure in place, and I'll ask Shabane to comment on this. 30% set aside, the Deputy Minister has been very passionate about this one. She has been pushing it for the last 5 years. I can say, Chair, quite convincingly here, without any fear of any contradiction, that this department is the only department that has brought the 30% set aside. There's no other department that has put the 30% set aside in the dollar. Because it is not in the dollar, it's not going to be achieved. It's not going to be adhered to. In other words, 30% now is law. When provinces don't need the 30% set aside, they are breaking the law. Because the Division of Revenue Act is the law. So we've got it as a conditional framework. We report on it on a regular basis. At MINMEC, we name and shame those provinces that are not meeting this target. In fact, I am convinced that in this current financial year, the AG is going to qualify those departments that are spending the 30% set aside on other programs. Because remember, you are not allowed to spend that 30% on anything else other than on women and youth programs. That's what it's meant for. So if you use the money for other programs and you don't seek permission from the National Transferring Office or from the Minister, then you are breaking the law. That's why we see. We're passionate about it. In fact, the Department of Women, they are here with us. They are trying to use the same conditions that we have used in the dollar to force other departments to do the same. We're not proud about the fact that we only achieved 10%. The problem here is that they make these women contractors and youth contractors to compete with other general contractors. And that competition is unfair. We told them that in the last meeting that you need to create a panel of women contractors and categorize it into three categories. Those who are in CIDB 1 to 3 is category A. CIDB 4 to 6 is category B. And CIDB 7 to 9 becomes category C. So that you can make people who have the same capacity to compete among themselves. We ask provinces to do that. At some point in the Northwest was performing around 2012, they had a similar arrangement where they created a panel of women contractors and allocate work amongst women contractors. It can be done, Chair, the problem is not insurmountable. Chair, I'm going to ask my colleagues to help me with some of the questions, and I'm going to start with DDG Chin sitting right next to you to answer some of the specific questions. And I think the issues about CISO's 3 million rand and 40 million rand irregular expenditure, we will deal with it. The CFO will also answer the question about the car hire. We think we resolved that issue of the irregular expenditure on the car, the ministerial car hire, which happened in the last financial year. The CFO will respond to it. And again, Chair, I will come back right at the end. The CFO will also talk to the 30-day invoices, and we will talk about the cargo needs program, the DG and Shaban. We will respond and talk to the tax needs program. And there was a question from Honorable Baha on FLISP. We will respond to that question. We still think that if FLISP can be synchronized with the government employee housing scheme, that program will perform. The government employee housing scheme, as we speak, we have pre-screened more than 300,000 government employees who do qualify for FLISP.
But remember, PSP is on the capital side, and the government employee housing scheme is on the operational side. But I would ask Shabani to talk to that one as well. Thank you, Chair.
Wanted to just caution them that if they can just zoom into the facts, because we don't take much time, but the minister can have the time as well, because we have exactly 40 minutes left.
Thank you, Chair. Chair, the customer has indicated, I think the issue is that we publish those indicators and we provide them to DPME. The problem is that because of the concurrency function, the MEC and the HOD approve what goes into the APP, and it's not necessarily the customized indicator that we publish. So that has been the issue, and we've raised the issue that neither minister or the DG has the power to tell an MEC this must go into your APP. And that's where we're not seeing it. And we've provided the information to DGMU, we've provided the information to National Treasury. Chair, on the issue around the question of student accommodation, you'll know that in the budget speech, Minister announced the incubation of this project. What we can indicate is that between ourselves and higher education and training, there's a task team that has been set up. We're quite advanced. I wouldn't like to let the cat out of the bag, but we're quite excited that between ourselves and DH, between the two ministers, they can make that announcement. But we're quite confident that we've done the work and it will be in compliance in relation to that. Chair, the issue around the question of the military veterans, I think the issue is that, I mean, just last week, I called the guys in and I said to them, so what's the problem? Both the provinces and the municipalities have said to us, if you give us the names, we will build those houses. The problem is that the minister and the DG and the department are not in charge of the list. That is the responsibility of DMV. And Chair, I can tell you something, it's like, I mean, we've resorted to a whole range of ways, DG, I mean, we've had a change, those kind of things. We are just battling to get the list. And the problem is that we'll build the houses. Now the problem is that we receive a qualification on that issue, because what happened was that in certain instances, provinces then put military veterans who were not part of the approved list into those houses, and that has resulted in a difficult situation. And then the last one, Chair, is around the question of the shortage of land. We've indicated that we've provided, I mean, the directive has been issued to the HDA to provide a land assembly plan, and that will then allow us to be able to ensure that there's one, there's a control over land; two, that it gets done within the current framework of what we're speaking about in relation to land and the whole issue around that. So that's the HDA, and obviously Minister will then through the APP approve that. Chair, the last point on the IGR. I mean, I think there's always this tendency, and I think we've battled with this issue. So the question is that whatever we do, we've got to do within the legal framework. So the issue around that is that even when we do encounter problems with provinces and municipalities, what we are always trying to do, and maybe it's just that to our disadvantage, we try and look at legal ways, but the problem is that you can't trump the Constitution. And I think the last point about it is that there's been some very lasting solutions. I mean, I think members will know that we started off this term of office in 2014 with Nelson Mandela in a real state of crisis in terms of delivery. We can say to you today that Nelson Mandela Bay, irrespective of what is unfolding there, we stabilize it in relation to human settlement development. In fact, it's the top performing municipality in relation to service standards. But also, I think we've raised this issue, and the members concerned know that in Gauteng, the instability that has been created post-2016 in relation to both Swane and the city of Joburg, and those issues have created and it exacerbated a problem that already existed in Gauteng. So Gauteng is gonna, I mean, I think the DG has raised the issue around the question of KZN, Eastern Cape. They were not always there, but we intervened as a department. And Limpopo, I think, is taking some steps towards compliance, but I think we said that we need to deal with that. I don't know.
Thank you very much, Chair. The State President, Mangalini. Chair, we have contracted as a department to achieve 100% regulatory compliance in terms of PFMA and the section that talks to payment of service provider. And I think what we're indicating here is that we've only achieved 96% in the other. However, the 4% that we could not is related to the number of invoices that had issues. And then some of the issues were of a human related matter, and I think at some point I did indicate, came to the House and say, we are taking disciplinary actions, we're taking disciplinary actions against those who are affected or who contributed to these invoices not being paid within the day. But somewhere there was this element that when ministry came in, we had officials who did not understand the PFMA treasury regulation, and they did not understand the implication of the sitting with an invoice. So we had to have an engagement with ministry because they were new, and we made them to understand that an invoice is payable within 30 days if it's received and the date to that. And that has been actually sorted out. But I must indicate that this 4% relates to 286 invoices of the 2,000 that we had received, that we had paid within 30 days, and the value of the highest value was 3 million to that effect of the previous service provider. But going forward, we have instituted some control, and of it is that issue of the disciplinary measures that we have taken. As members are talking about consequence management. While on the issue of the consequence management and the lack of it thereof in relation to the previous investment expenditure, Chair must indicate that at that stage we would not have instituted a consequence management, because before you can institute, you need to have an investigation undertaken. On this issue of the vehicle that was rented while the other vehicle that was purchased was in use, we did instructed the internal audit to investigate, and an investigation came from internal audit to say this is regarded as frivolous and wasteful expenditure. And at some point there was also 171,000 of that money that was regarded as irregular expenditure. We did not leave it there, Chair. We had to communicate with National Treasurer on the transactionalization of the whole thing. But we had also disclosed in the financial books of our county before we could be found wanting, because if you do not disclose, you are actually seen to be hiding something in the eyes of the law. So we had to disclose that 1.2 is a fruitless and wasteful expenditure as it emanated from the previous financial year. And we had to carry it in debt since 17 until October. But what I'm saying is the new development that we had to do was that we took it to National Treasury because we wanted to determine it whether this is a real fruitless and wasteful expenditure. To our surprise, Chair, the letter that came from National Treasury was disclosing these as non fruitless and wasteful expenditure and not even an irregular expenditure, simply because in terms of the ministerial handbook, which is your paragraph 9, it's not regarded as part of your financial management regulatory framework. So in the next year to come, those two transactions as categorized as fruitless and irregular expenditure will be taken off the annual report. So we have had the information of Treasury and invited signed off by the Office of Accountant General. So we have actually made a big stride on that, because we couldn't just leave it, because we were debating between ourselves and internal audit as to whether we regard this, because the car that was in use, the DM is currently using it. So it was not a fruitless expenditure. And then we had to hire for the minister. So both cars were in use. However, as seen at that time, it was like you're renting a car while the other one was in use. So both cars were in use, and while we transactionalize it and as a
through the Treasury so it fits that they provide us in writing to distinguish between paragraph 9 of the Ministerial Handbook as well as your PCMA and the Treasury Regulation, which is section 76. So we made a big stride on that one. Chair, in terms of the overruns, which is in terms of the government lady award, we accepted that. During that period, we had a number of delegates who did not give us an RSVP. So we had to cater for those overflow, and unfortunately we had to incur costs. But given the fact that the amount that was approved in as far as the GM award is concerned, it was less, then we had to disclose that additional amount that was spent over and above what that was approved by the minister at that point in time. So the non-disclosure of that would have actually resulted in an irregular expenditure as well. Hence, we had to put it as a disclosure note and indicate it as an extra expense in terms of the overrun of the government media award. Chair, I think, did you open your mouth?
DDG Nishabane on the title deeds.
Thank you.
And please.
Yes. Just very briefly, perhaps, DG, what we didn't say is that the grant business plan has to be submitted to the department when the APP doesn't have to be. It's important to know that. Chair, perhaps it's also useful to, on the title deeds, admittedly, and wisdom of hindsight, the real issue is that we hadn't designed the program to do what we wanted to do. Therefore, as a result, last year, the program was reconfigured. And Chair, as you indicated, we will be more than happy to come back to the committee with a full presentation on the program design, all of those issues, as we did share with the committee when we presented in the first quarter report. But we now know specifically which township needs to be organized, which beneficiaries need to be identified, and all of those issues in the value chain and the institutional arrangements and so forth. So with your permission, Chair, we'll be more than happy to come back to the committee with that fuller detailed presentation. Chair, on FLISP, yes, it's not a miracle that's going to happen. It is the maturity of all the amendments and enhancements that have been made. The MINMEC now in July approved the amendments which make it possible to then upscale. Specifically, we are also then aiming to interface with the government employees housing scheme. We are about to conclude, the ministers have met, we are about to conclude the modalities of that interface. The committee would be aware that before I came to the department, I was working at the DPSA designing the scheme. We did all the preliminary work in anticipation of the amendments of the FLIS policy, which are now in place. The pre-screening, it was done in one week, so it is possible to then achieve greater impact on the FLIS in the next couple of months. So it won't be a miracle. It will simply be the culmination of all the preparatory work that's been done. But not only for government employees, for other employer assisted schemes as well. The only thing is that government employees housing scheme is the biggest. Madam Chair, again, once there's a conclusion, it should be possible to come back to demonstrate the upscaling in terms of that. Fleece uptake, but also those qualifying beneficiaries, as the case may be. I think, Chair, I will pause here.
Chair, before I hand over to Minister to have last word on the matters, I wanted to indicate that one of our projects in Kabasindi was classified as part of Operation Pakistan.
we put it through the lab, there were some glitches, and we think that that project could be closed before the end of the financial year with some of the mining companies that are working with us. Anglo has already started implementing the upgrading of the sewer, because we can't implement top structures if the sewer is not in good grade. The challenges, we can talk about them. There are a lot of challenges, but we don't want to dwell on them. But the biggest challenge, which affects all the departments, is the capping of the COEs, the compensation of employees. This is what Ilya had forced us to have contract positions instead of permanent positions, because we could not fill those critical positions, especially in problem three. So we ended up with contract positions. But I'm not going to build on other challenges. I think we can fix that. I'll hand over to Minister now.
Before you do that, hand over back to the CFO. I just want here to clarify the issue of the car hire, because the confusion here might be that this is a car hire from this current financial year, from the minister, and yet it's an issue that was debated at the time that it was the previous minister. If you can just clarify that so that everybody is on the same
page. That's so very correct, Chair, and I think we need to upfront indicate that it's not for the current ministry. It emanates from the two previous financial years, so the disclosure comes from 16-17 and then 17-18. So thank you.
And what are the matters they have even debated about this in the last
Chair, through you, no, the consequence management, and I must say that it may not have listened to me. I did say we would not have instituted consequence because we have been undergoing an investigation. That has been concluded. Thank you.
Thank you very much. If you can give to the DM first before you move.
Thank you, Minister. Thank you, Chairperson. I just want to comment on just on two aspects. No, no, really, no. One is the issue of maintenance, which was raised by members. I just want to emphasize the fact that in housing, which is government subsidy housing, we don't do maintenance. It's a responsibility of beneficiaries. Remember that we give them the house for free. So the responsibility of a beneficiary is to look after those houses. It's very, very critical and very clear. And in any case, you must remember the stock. We give the houses, that the municipalities are responsible for the rest. The department just builds houses, and then the rest is the municipality and the beneficiaries. But the beneficiaries must maintain their units. What we talk about in terms of the maintenance itself is the rental stock, because it's critical that those housing units in terms of the rental stock be maintained. And in that, we are saying that the social housing institutions, which are responsible for building that rental stock, very important that they put a management that knows exactly how to maintain the rental stock. That's why we need maintenance. It's on the rental stock. Lastly, with regard to the military veterans, it is true that the DMV in particular had challenges around the issue of leadership. That also had negative bearing on the program. But the issue of database has been very, very critical. Military veterans particularly, there are military veterans who are vulnerable because they had issues to be resolved, which means they are not in the database, but they are needy military veterans, which means those issues must be resolved between the ministry and the relevant MECs to ensure they put them back to the database. So that also delays the processes. And lastly, on the outstanding issues, some of them are married, they're divorced, they need to be put back. It reflects that they have properties, and if they have no property. So it is a challenging issue, particularly the vulnerable group of military veterans.
Thank you very much, DM. Minister.
No, thank you very much, Honorable Chairperson. Let me thank all members for these questions. I think they are very good questions, that we must always gauge where we're going through them. I hope they are all documented and we can use them even in our mentor or other meetings to always mitigate in coming back to the same question when we come to the portfolio committee. Chair, I think many of them have been responded to, maybe not adequately, some of them, but as I said, it's something that we must always remind ourselves. I want to start, Chair, by saying we will always be in this situation until such time we think out of the box. And I think it's always difficult to think out of the box. I'm realizing, especially being in the executive, because you are forced to be a bureaucrat as well, not a politician. You are forced to be a bureaucrat. And you are guided by all those things that, you know, you didn't even sign. Now, I'm saying that because, you see, we talk about title deeds, we talk about municipal and provincial that are really dragging us down because there's concurrence. Once we're not a federal country, we behave as a federal country. Now, it reminds me of something that we once did, a Cape Town. It became a national model for ministers, where we said we are going to deliver houses within 6 months. And look what was there. We said we're going to deliver, and the official screamed that it cannot happen. But we managed. We knew that we had three different rules and three spheres of government, but from the city we said we are going to put our rules on the table. The national and province is going to do that, but now we're forming something called M3, and all of us, local, province and the city, I mean and national, we're committing to have those houses in 6 months' time. And we did. We did, nobody, and we got a clean audit. Because we did that, our DGs or city managers were there, the lawyers were there, so that we don't break the law. But we were not locked into as if we are bureaucrats, not politicians. I just wanted to say that maybe it's something we need to discuss. If we're saying we must think out of the box about title deeds, about what the provinces are doing and what municipalities are doing, what is it that we must do so that we are clear, we all get a clean audit? Chair, I want to only comment on two issues. The question of DMV. We're really walking a very tight rope. As DM said, we're not the one who verify. We get a list from the Director General of Veterans League. And that is the list that we need to implement. For us, it's to build. I can tell you now, there's in different provinces, there are houses that have been built for military veterans. In most cases, they are not taking occupation because that process of really getting the right people, it's not there. On the other hand, because of that, every day we get calls from people who are saying, I have a list of veterans who don't have a house or their families that needs to be housed. But that's not how we do this. It cannot just a list come to myself or to human settlement to be able to put people in houses.
it must be verified and agreed to at that level. So we, this is one area I think we've overperformed, in fact. I mean, if you look at Bella, if you look at different areas that all the military veterans, if you take into account when MK was stopped, and you take into account how old the last veteran is supposed to be, I think we've housed most of the people, but we will depend on them. The second one is what you know, members ask about the entities. You see, the challenge that we have, Okokala, is that you appoint the board. There's an act of doing that to oversee what that executive, small executive, is dealing with a particular entity. Now, even what we are responsible, or I'm responsible for the entity, even myself, I need to sort of walk in a tight rope so that I don't do what that act is not allowing me to do. But I must say, even with that, just that is just the background, because eventually you must intervene. But you can't just intervene, you need to take into account their act, the law and everything. But these two CISOs, NHB and NHBRC, we intervene, honorable members. I got to give this department February, end of February this year. And I only got to hear about the VSB issue and APSA sometime this year, because, you know, the media, fortunately, was writing about it. And immediately, we called the CEO, the chairperson, and ask what is happening. It was clear that as much as they don't want to admit, but, you know, they articulated what they've done, and we handed it over to the board to say, the consequence management we're talking about, to say, it's your responsibility, it's not my responsibility. Intervene and make sure that the CFO and CEO, you are able to deal with them. They said yes, they didn't act for some time, which allowed me then to legally to go. I couldn't go before that and say, I'm going to do it before you. It allowed me to go legally and say, I'm intervening now according to particular act. As we speak, no, so that I don't take long, as we speak, CISO is under investigation. And for you to see the difficulty at times, when I was intervening, I said, no, don't get the investigator. I'm going to get the investigator. But by the time we went to them to say, this is our investigator, we found out there's somebody already who is investigating, even though I said, don't do it. So, but anyway, it's good, because they will come and sort of, both investigators now will be able to tell us what is wrong. So they are under investigation. We gave them 8 weeks before the end of this month. Before the end of this month, they will tell us what is happening. It looks serious. They might lose, especially the VBS money. The other one, NHBRC, you will know that this, again, it's not necessarily the executive. It's how the board is not managing that situation. Instead of managing it, it's sort of, you know, they started to be friends with the executive, that they are supposed to, you know, play an oversight role. Now,
I'm saying there was an intervention check, because at some stage, just before the end of their term, we took a decision that we must change all the boards that was there and advertise and new people apply. So there's a complete new board in place. And I must say, I mean, I'm quite excited about them. They are young, they are, you know, they're full of energy, and they are professionals, they are the kind of people you would want to be in that board, because that's one of the boards, when we talk about municipalities that are doing shoddy work, that's one of the boards that is responsible for going to this whenever there's a contraction to say, you know, this is wrong, this is right. Equally so, that's one of the boards that is supposed to create many, many jobs for South Africans, because they are responsible for training housing inspectors and lots of other things. So I'm hoping they will, you know, pass the test when we think they will do the job. Thank you very much, Chair.
Thank you very much, Minister and the department. One thing that, my last word, one thing that I always appreciate about the department, Minister, is that even in the face of the most difficult times, the difficult questions that they have to face in this portfolio audit, they never run away. They will always face this blame. And they will always sometimes leave this committee with their ties off, for example, because they are sweating around the neck, but they will always be here.
Their ties choking them.
But they will always be here. So I thought it important that they have never tried to obstruct what we need to do in the portfolio company in terms of doing our oversight work. And we just want to appreciate that. I'm saying this because it will be the annual report probably that we will deal with for the last time. And also to say, don't worry that you've given us all the answers.
Mm-hmm.
Remember, at the end of the day, you are still politicians. You're going to get in that podium and debate as if you've never given us any answers at the end of the day. Because we have a specific objective. So don't lose sight of that. But thank you for giving us the answers anyway. But we will still go in there and use our first understanding of before you give us the answer. And debate you on that. And turn it around, because that's what we are being paid for. But we want to appreciate. And thank you very much. Tomorrow we are starting at 9. Remember, today we started at 10. Tomorrow we are starting at 9, same venue. Tomorrow we are doing this entity. All of you. So we will be here the whole day. So we understand that different people at different times will be built somewhere, but we won't mind you coming in and out, or others coming in, both from the officials and the ministry. But we are here tomorrow morning. Thank you very much. The meeting is adjourned. The transport is taking you back to the bus now at 5:30. And we will see you in the morning. Thank you.
Yeah, he has them.